The Taliban, the extremist fundamentalist rulers of Afghanistan, are facing an ultimatum: turn over Osama bin Laden or face military strikes. Earlier today, a Pakistani delegation, under pressure from the United States, asked the Taliban to comply with the ultimatum. The Taliban leader said he will allow a council of Islamic clerics to decide how to respond. In the meantime, Pakistan and Afghanistan say they are building up troops on their common border. To understand the complicated relationships between the U.S., Pakistan, and Afghanistan, it's helpful to go back to the 1980s, when the Afghanistan resistance, known as the Mujahideen, drove out the Soviets, which had invaded their country. The U.S. and Pakistan back the Afghan resistance. My guest, Thomas Gutierrez, is the director of the Center for Afghanistan Studies at the University of Nebraska. We spoke earlier today. In the 80s, during the war between Afghanistan and the Soviet Union, Pakistan was kind of on the same side that we were.
Oh, yes.
Right. And Pakistan was the depot for the arms that the United States and other countries were getting to the resistance fighters in Afghanistan, the Mujahideen. So talk a little bit about how the relationship with Pakistan and the Taliban developed after the war in Afghanistan was over, when the Taliban came to power. Did Pakistan help the Taliban come to power?
Well, the Taliban were comprised originally of a group of some small numbers of former commanders who had been fighting in the war against the Soviet Union, who themselves were, you know, were part of the Mujahideen elements, and they were distressed at the inability of the Mujahideen parties to put together a coherent, stable government in Kabul. Eventually, the Taliban and people around Kandahar were wanting to revolt against the, or demonstrate against the ineffectiveness of this situation with the Mujahideen government. And they captured a couple of spots and fought against a couple of these. And the Pakistanis, I think, were amazed with the alacrity which, with the Afghans in the area, came over to them, because they really weren't on anybody's radar screen until then. And so, recognizing that what was going on in Kabul wasn't going to work for them, they quickly switched their connections to the Taliban. And they had a kind of charismatic appeal to Afghans, because their name means essentially students. And all of a sudden, their ranks started to swell dramatically. The ranks were swelling not from people who had been formerly in the Mujahideen ranks so much, but by Afghans who were in the refugee camps and religious schools in Pakistan during the war with the Soviet Union, now who were maturing enough to be old enough in their late teens to fight on behalf of the Taliban. And so with this kind of connection between the Pakistani military intelligence, the Pakistani military, and the Taliban themselves, the Taliban started to move with Pakistani tactical support and advisors against the rest of Afghanistan. And this was all strengthened eventually in the late spring, early summer of 1996, when the Pakistanis brokered the return of Osama bin Laden to Afghanistan.
So what is the connection between the Pakistani government and bin Laden?
Well, as we know, bin Laden was, as we've discussed already, was fighting on behalf of the Afghans against the Soviets. Essentially, around the time that the Soviets pulled out their troops, Osama bin Laden went back to Saudi Arabia. And there he became embroiled in protests and demonstrations against the American Western United Nations presence in the Persian Gulf. He felt it was a desecration of holy Arabian soil to have the house of Mecca and Medina, to have these foreigners there propping up a monarchy and government which he believed was not sufficiently Islamic enough. And with that, he was thrown out of Saudi Arabia and had his passport taken away. He went to Sudan, where he began developing training camps for terrorism against Saudi Arabia and the West, to remove the West initially just from the Persian Gulf, and then that, of course, is, as we know now, is extended beyond that objective. And the Saudis and the U.S. pressured the Sudan to kick him out. And when that happened, the Pakistani military intelligence and the Pakistani military brokered a return for him to Afghanistan. And, during the time that Gulbuddin Hikmetyar was the prime minister in the Rabbani government, which never was a marriage of anything more than convenience, they never were in the same almost city at the same time. But so he came in at that time and introduced by the Pakistanis, and he went to eastern Afghanistan. At this time, I was with the United Nations Special Mission to Afghanistan, and I was asked to try and learn, you know, what was the objective of Osama bin Laden, and was he really back in Afghanistan? And indeed learned that he was, and that he was there to support, initially he came in to support maybe the more extreme elements, Gulbuddin Hikmetyar, in the fight amongst the Mujahideen. Now, by the time I got there, he was already working with the Taliban, having been, introduced to them by the Pakistani military intelligence.
So the government of Pakistan helped get bin Laden into Afghanistan, which he has made his home base.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're asking the government of Pakistan to get bin Laden out. What does the government in Pakistan stand for now, and how close of a tie do they still have with the Taliban and with bin Laden?
Well, I think that the current government in Pakistan, led by General Musharraf, who is now the president of this military government, is beginning to understand that the relationship that it put together between Pakistan, in other words, in a previous iteration of the government, between the Taliban, the Pakistanis, and Osama bin Laden is in some ways coming home to roost in its own territory. The training camps in Pakistan that were training people for Kashmir and Afghanistan sent people out to those places. They've come back, and they themselves are not very pleased about the political makeup of their own country. So they are kind of a disaffected group of people who are, readily available to march to the streets. And there are also numbers of these same people who have gone into the military and now are part of the military ranks. This means that military is not as secular as it was in its past. So this is a situation where the Pakistanis themselves have a very difficult situation, trying to undo, in some ways, a situation in which they have been the major, masterminds, and now they're understanding that perhaps this is going to be too problematic for their own interest in future, and are using this opportunity perhaps to extricate themselves from this entangled, unholy alliance between Pakistan's military intelligence, Osama bin Laden, and the Taliban.
The Taliban have vowed to retaliate against any country that sides with the United States. What kind of military power do they have to retaliate? Is there retaliation? Can they retaliate only in terms of terrorism, or do they actually have a military?
Well, they have what we would recognize as a loosely collected military, enough people to be significant, but not the kind that could march across the border and deal in what we would call standard warfare. It's a hodgepodge, a creation of various groups from various parts around the country that are largely they're disciplined in their religion, but not so highly disciplined in their military, processes. What they have, and when they make these threats, are the same type. They have the connections with Osama bin Laden, perhaps, or they have the connections with the extremist religious parties in Pakistan who support them and Osama bin Laden, and so they're able to use that as a threat. And I think that's a threat which concerns the current Pakistani military government led by General Musharraf. So they are capable of raising threats, yes, but I don't think that we need to expect that they're going to in any time seek to invade Pakistan in retribution. That's not just a possibility.
There's some concern that if Pakistan sides with the United States, that there will be an insurrection within Pakistan and that fundamentalists siding with the Taliban will overthrow the current government and that alliances will really shift after that. How concerned are you about that?
I think that's a very real possibility, that there at least would be mass demonstrations and the possibility of also bringing, you know, the commerce of the country to a halt. But I think that the Pakistani military at this stage is probably understanding that, if not now, this whole situation is likely to, occur sometime in the not too distant future, and maybe this particular juncture gives them a chance to reassert, you know, a secularist hold over Pakistan. I think that we should, depending on the degree to which Pakistan really does go along with the United States and NATO on this, we should not be surprised if there are these continuing demonstrations, and even perhaps inside Pakistan, the need for some martial law and military clampdown on political parties that are the allies of Osama bin Laden and the Taliban.
Are you saying you don't take what the Pakistan government says at face value?
Well, you know, right now we have to take it at face value, but at the same time, I think we need to be insistent upon, they're upholding what they say they are going to do: close the borders, break off with the Taliban, don't support them anymore, those are things that in the past they were unwilling to do. And they say now they are willing to do that. We need to monitor that indeed they're being truthful at this time in doing so.
Just one last question. How long can the Taliban go on without the support of Pakistan?
Without the support of Pakistan and Al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden's movement, the Taliban probably cannot go on very long at all. I think at this stage, the Taliban are very dependent upon the fighting forces that come to them through the extremist religious schools in Pakistan and the Arabs and Central Asians that Osama bin Laden recruits for his Al-Qaeda movement, which are forming a lot of the frontline brigades in the struggle against the northern opposition and other pockets of resistance in Afghanistan. I think if these two resources are removed from the Taliban resource base, that the other Afghans throughout the country will see that, you know, the tide is turning, and it will weaken the Taliban very, very severely.
Thomas Gutierrez, I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
Nice to be with you, Terry.
Thomas Gutierrez is the director of the Center for Afghanistan Studies at the University of Nebraska in Omaha. This is Fresh Air.